It is about 9:20, so it's time for our hymn sing. And I already have two requests, so we'll start first with number 77, How Great Thou Art. And I didn't ask, is verses 1 and 4 okay? 1 and 4 of 77. And then the next request was 381, and was it verses 1 and 4? 1 and 4 of 381, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us.
Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us.
right, another request? Yes. 347, the Spirit Song, 347, and there's two verses, so we'll sing both of those. Number 347.
Going to learn, or you already know this song, a new song for some of you, and we'll be singing this one at the end of my sermon as well. So we will learn this song at this time. And then, thank you, Lori, always. It's called I Love You, Lord. And there's no... So I'll have to give you the lyric. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. All my soul rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear, and may it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Great. Thank you, Lori. It goes like this. Let me, well, you know the song, sing along with me. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul. May it be a sweet, sweet
sound in your ear.
Let's sing it once more.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear, may be your sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
Very nice.
Thank you, Colleen. Good morning and welcome to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith. It's great to see everyone this morning on this rainy day. I know I, for one, am happy to see some rain finally. Hopefully that'll help the firefighters and not cause too many mudslides. Okay, let's start with some announcements. Please remember to sign in on the red pew pads that are there next to you and pass them on to your neighbor, and then please put them back in the near the aisle. There are also blue prayer cards in front of you. If you have any prayer requests, please fill those out and put them in the offering plate as you leave, and our prayer warriors will pray upon those for us. And all, please join us for refreshments and fellowship in the fellowship hall after worship. And now on to the announcements. Our January birthdays, please wish these folks a happy birthday when you see them. Marion, Mike, Harold, Bill, Lorreen, Rebecca, Ann, Gary, and Audrey, happy birthday. Reminder about the Bible study that Dina Barwick is running on Zoom. Encounters with Jesus, it's through the eyes of Mark. The next one will be, it's Mondays, beginning January 13th through March 3rd, and the time is 5 to 6:30 p.m. Pacific time. If you have not already started with this and you would like to join, please email Dina Barwick, as shown on the screen, so that you can get signed up, and she will give you the link for Zoom and any study materials that are necessary. Our next Saturday movie will be February 1 at 11 a.m., with doors opening at 10:30, so you can get those snacks and get comfortable in your seat before the movie starts. This month, the movie is Because of Winn-Dixie. And there's a dog in it, so it's got to be a good movie, right? And then lastly, we have the Electronic Waste Drive coming up on Saturday, February 8th. It'll be from 9 a.m. till noon, or until the truck is full. So I guess that tells me get there early so you make sure that your stuff can be taken away. It'll be in the church parking lot. And remember that the items must be in your vehicle, and then the folks that are collecting it will take care of that for you. And then all proceeds will go to the PEO Scholarship Fund. And PEO is the Philanthropic Educational Organization. Any other announcements? Okay. If you now please stand as you're able and join me in the call to worship. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God.
My soul thirsts for God, for the living God.
When can I go and meet with God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me?
Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God.
And our opening hymn is number 156, I Love to Tell the Story.
God's own holy word, I love.
tell a story will be my theme in glory. To tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love.
If you'll remain standing, it's time now to pass the peace of Christ to your neighbor.
Yeah. Okay, I see. Alright, let's welcome everyone on Zoom at this time. So glad to see Helen. Hi, Helen. And for maybe a few of you who here not know about Helen, Helen will be celebrating 105th birthday this year. Okay? 105th, yes. Keep it up, Helen. Keep up your good work. Hello, Alita. So good to see you. Yes. And June and Joyce. Hello, hello. And we have Michael. Welcome. And George. Welcome, George. Chris, David, and Bill and April. Now, who else do we have? Do I miss anybody?
That's it.
That's it? Okay. Great.
It's now time for the sharing of our joys and concerns. If you have something to share, please raise your hand and Deb will bring you the mic. And I guess I'll get us started. Lori and I both have a joy, but I think it also might require some prayers. We're going to adopt an 8-week-old puppy today. And it's been 11 years since we had an 8-week-old puppy in the house, and we're 11 years older. I hope we have the energy and the patience to do this, but yeah, we're really excited about it and looking forward to a new family member. So,
what kind of puppy?
A German Shepherd. Okay, this will be our fourth, but we don't have any right now. We're just two of us right now, so yeah, it'll be fun.
I don't usually have much to say. Everything seems to be going pretty well with my life and my family, but yesterday I had a visit from my daughter, and I have a 17-year-old grandson, smart boy. They go to the academy, the Christian Academy school in Redlands. He's smart, he carries a 4.4, and he's in sports and stuff, and he's in scouts. He's going to get his eagle, smart, and I'm proud of him. And we have our discussions because growing up, he had a lot of medical issues and still does. He's a type 1 diabetic, so I was the only one that took care of him all those years of growing up. And before that, he had food allergies really bad, and he got a trip to the emergency room in a fire truck. Actually, it was a ladder truck, because she ran out where she was at the time, and he had a reaction to the formula. Anyway, so he got to go to the emergency with a ladder truck. But anyway, he's 17 now, and we've been very close, and we talk about stuff, about religion, and about politics, and he's very interested in history, political science. He wants to be a politician. We'll see. So we talk about stuff, and the last time that I talked to him, we were on a one-on-one, we were by ourselves, and he knows what I am, and I said, so Reagan, I said, so about religion, I said, what do you call yourself? What are you? And he says, I'm a searcher. I'm a seeker, right? And I've been praying for this boy for years. And so I said to his mother the other day, I said, something's going on with Reagan. He's different. And I said, and the last time I was over at your house, they asked him to say the prayer an evening, and he did. That was not the same prayer this boy's been saying all these years. He said prayers at the scout because he was a chaplain in the scouts, and he said prayer. This is not the same. And I told Lori, that's not the same. And Lori says, don't you know what happened, Mom? And I said, I don't know. And I knew that he got burnt really bad and at one time, but I didn't know how bad. I seem to be on the need-to-know list, right? You know well about that. And so she said, he got burnt really bad. His hands got burnt. And he told his mother on the way to the emergency room that it was a miracle. He says, my face should be burned. I should be burned really bad. And he said, I think that was a miracle. Anyway, Lori said, in the waiting room at the hospital, he took Jesus as his savior. Thank God.
Wow.
So no more, no more.
Wow, wow, wow. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for sharing that, because we all have people we're praying for.
And then he might replace our governor.
that's the kind of thing we always hope for. That's you know, God's very patient, and that's, I'm proof of that. But that's very, very good. But I just talked to my friend Dr. John yesterday, and he's doing all right after his little adventure in the hospital. But Alice has done 2 chemos so far. She's tolerating it okay, but she's not a teenager anymore, so it's probably going to get a little rougher. But he filled me in on Pastor Terry, who's on our list too. She's was doing not too bad, but she went up to Baptist Hospital there in Miami to get radiation again. They were going to radiate her and release her, but then I guess a tumor has impacted her spine again, and now she can't move her legs. So she's up there right now, and they're going to see whatever they can do to give her some kind of relief. But it's getting kind of bad with her.
Hi, I'm Cheryl. My mom and I are joining the church today, so that's a joy to me. And just to piggyback off of that gentleman up front, I just adopted a 8-month Belgian Malinois. And I need prayers. I need lots of prayers, because this dog is trying my patience. So it's a little difficult, but I love him so much, and I'm so glad I rescued him from Redlands Humane Society. So I need some prayers, please. Thanks.
And while I'm on my way back, I'm really happy for all of the kids that were at Parents Night Out. We had so much fun building forts out of cardboard. They made a crazy mess down there, and it's pretty much cleaned up. But they had so much fun, and they used all of their creativity, and we had a blast. So I'm grateful for them. There's a couple of flyers laying around about our movie on Sunday. I put a few in the fellowship hall. But it has the movie and the e-waste drive. So if you have a family in your neighborhood that you could drop that off for, the movie is very family-friendly for kids. So pick one up. Thanks. Anyone on Zoom, please raise your hand. Does anyone on Zoom have a prayer request? Raise your hand.
We have one prayer request right here, if you don't mind, Deb, to come up. And Andy in front has something to share.
Anyway, I missed the order. But so my second son and his girlfriend are running a marathon in 3 weeks. So, you know, they've done a lot of preparation, but you know, it's both a joy and a concern. I mean, joy because he's in great shape and it's a, you know, big challenge that they're setting themselves up for, and concern because it's a long way to go. And they're in Austin, and just you know, prayers as they do this.
Safety and endurance.
Exactly. Andy and Frankie from my
Hi, Frankie.
Previous parish are here today with us, so welcome. And Josh, we are going to miss him. Josh is moving to Seattle, and please pray for him that his transition may go well. And I also have one sad news, and that is Alon, EJ, Pastor Jill now, husband, passed away yesterday. You know, EJ has been a hospice care nurse at the community hospital. And she is really good at taking care of those with a terminal illness. And she has done an excellent, excellent job taking care of Alon. And Alon up there in Idaho, Iowa?
Yeah,
whatever. he became a local lay pastor as well. You know, EJ is a lay pastor. So they too serve churches up there as local lay pastors. And he has finished the course in faith, and he's now with the Lord. So we celebrate him going home and finish the course in faith. We are really happy that they too were able to serve churches up there as pastors. So please pray for Pastor Jill and her families as well.
If you will now join me in the unison prayer. Give us, O Lord, steadfast hearts, which no unworthy thought can drag downward. Unconquered hearts, which no tribulation can wear out. Upright hearts, which no unworthy purpose may tempt aside. Bestow upon us also, O Lord our God, understanding to know you, diligence to seek you, wisdom to find you, and a faithfulness that may finally embrace you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us continue our prayers in silence. Dear Lord Jesus, we face many challenges in life. Even though we dealt with many problems and troubles and overcame them all with your help, whenever we see new problems, our hearts are discouraged and we sometimes do not find the courage to face problems and fight on. So we come before you again, acknowledging our frailty, our weakness, our powerlessness. The problems often seems to be like huge mountain that we can never climb on our own. But, oh Lord, you can move mountains. And we know as we rely upon you, we can draw strength from you and face any challenges in life. So we want to do that again. We come to you to draw strength from your presence, to receive courage and hope from your word and from your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, as we acknowledge our human weakness, we invite you and your Holy Spirit to come into our lives and fill those empty areas, fill those areas where we do not find any resources, in those areas where we feel so weak, so hopeless. We invite you to intervene. We invite you to fill in those places with your power and your presence. Lord, you know exactly what we are dealing with today. You know our weakness, the way we are. You know our need. We don't have any other options, but we have to rely upon you. So we come to you, O Lord, asking you to be involved, to manifest your power and your presence once more, that we may experience your living presence once more. So our hearts, our lives are open unto you, that you may come and empower us, that you may hold our hands and lead to the places of doubt and questions. But we will face them, O Lord, because we know you are with us. We remember all the fire victims and ask you to surround them with your peace. Let them know that you will lead them on. You will sustain them. You will provide for them. You heard the concerns we have, O Lord, and we lift our prayers unto you for our loved ones and ask you to reach out to them in such a fashion that they may know you and your presence and your power in their lives. So, Lord, we come acknowledging our need, acknowledging our weakness. But, O Lord, you are our sovereign God who has everything under your control. So we humbly submit to you and to your will, the good and perfect plan that you have for us, and pray that you fulfill your will in our lives, in this church, in our communities, and in the world today. So now we join our hearts and prayers, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
It is now time for our Young at Heart moment.
Today's story is The Most Perfect Snowman, written by Chris Britt. Drift was the loneliest of snowmen. Built from the first blustery snow of winter, he'd been built fast and then forgotten. With only two skinny stick arms and a small mouth and eyes made of coal, Drift dreamed of wearing a stylish hat, scarf, and mittens just like the other snowmen. Most of all, he dreamed of having a pointy orange carrot nose. If only I had that, I'd be perfect, he thought. All the other snowmen were much fancier than Drift and would giggle at him with frosty glee. Nice nose. Love your style. Snazzy outfit. Dressed in their finery, they would have snowy fashion parades. Snowball fights. And snowman dances that lasted all night. But Drift was never included. So he spent his days alone, swishing and sliding through the wintry woods, often stopping in the shadows to watch the others laugh and play. One morning, three bundled-up children walked by. What a plain-looking snowman, said one little girl. You need a hat. Here, take mine. The hat was blue, fluffy, and toasty warm. It fit perfectly. And you can have my mittens, said the little boy. They were so snuggly. Drift raised his arms in the air and smiled. The last little girl turned to Drift. Why don't you take my scarf? It felt soft and cozy as she placed it around his neck. She looked at him for a moment. You're still missing something. Then, reaching into her coat pocket, she pulled out the most pointy orange carrot nose that Drift had ever seen. She squashed it into place. Now you're the perfect snowman. The other snowmen watched in astonishment. All afternoon, Drift played with the children. He had never been so happy. But soon, dark clouds rolled in, and his new friends turned to walk back home. Drift thanked them and waved goodbye. That night, a terrible blizzard began to blow. Icy snowflakes ripped at Drift's new hat and mittens and tossed them into the air. Oh, no, Drift gasped. He set out to search for his missing clothes. He looked up into the trees and down in a stream, over hills and under bushes, but they were gone. Oh, well, Drift sighed. At least I still have my beautiful new scarf and nose. Then, through the howling wind, Drift heard a whisper, soft voice, I'm lost. Can you help me, please? It was a tiny bunny. It looked frightened and shivery cold. The bunny needed a safe place to survive the night, but there was no shelter to be found. Drift took off his scarf and wrapped it gently around the bunny. There, now you'll stay warm. That's when he heard a faint growl. It was the bunny's tummy. Rumble. Drift stared into the frosty night. He knew what he had to do. He reached up, removed his last remaining gift, and gave his new friend something to eat, and became the most perfect snowman of all. The end. May we realize that it's not the outside, how we're dressed and how we look, that make us good, but the giving and the generosity of our hearts. May we be as generous to others as God was to us. Amen.
Our next hymn is number 189, Fairest Lord Jesus. Our scripture reading today is from the book of Mark, chapter 6, verses 30 through 37, and then in that same chapter, verses 41 through 45, feeding the 5,000. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now very late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy something for themselves to eat. But he answered them, "You give them something to eat?" They said to him, "Are we to go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" Now on to verse 41. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. Those who had eaten the loaves numbered 5,000 men. Immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side of Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good morning. So good to see you all in here in this beautiful and cozy sanctuary. And also I see many have come and joined us on Zoom. And I pray that all of us will have a special moment this morning to have fellowship with each other and fellowship with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit, that we may receive the spiritual nurture in every possible way. A civil servant was sitting in his office when, out of boredom, he decided to see what was in an old filing cabinet. Poking through the dusty content, he came across an old brass lamp and thought that it would look nice on his mantelpiece at home. So he took it home, and while polishing it, a genie suddenly appeared from the lamp and granted him 3 wishes. "I wish for an ice-cold beer right now," he began modestly, "to help me with my next 2 wishes. He received his beer and drank it, then turned his thought to his second wish. "I wish to be on an island inhabited only by beautiful women." As if by magic, he found himself on a tropical island surrounded by gorgeous women. "And what is your 3rd wish? Asked the genie. The civil servant thought for a second and said, "I wish I've never have to work again." And poop, he was back in his office. Being lazy and idle can be problematic. Do you know how David got involved in a wrongful relationship with Bathsheba and saw seed of bloodshed in his family? While his military chief and his servants were busy fighting against the Ammonites, David remained in Jerusalem. He had little to do, idling on his couch until late in the afternoon. He then walked upon the roof of his house and discovered Bathsheba taking a bath. Had he been with his soldiers, his affair with Bathsheba could have been prevented. On the other hand, being overly busy can also bring challenges. For instance, a workaholic may have high productivity, but his relationship might be at risk. Spiritually speaking, we can be busy serving others and doing God's work, yet fail to find time to reflect upon who we are, the very purpose of our mission, and our relationship with God. The gospel lesson teaches us the importance of quiet time for spiritual cultivation. We are very familiar with Jesus' feeding of the 5,000. We tend to focus on the remarkable miracle and overlook other important aspects. Let's examine what happened before and after the miracle. The disciples had just returned from their mission trip, but they were still busy tending to many people. Realizing that they had no break to eat, Jesus wanted to take them to a remote place for rest. So Jesus and the disciple boarded a boat, but the crowd figured out where they were headed and arrived at their destination before Jesus and the disciples. We do not know exactly where they were going, aside from it being near a small fishing village called Bethsaida on the northeastern side of Galilee. Apparently, it was a remote location. Note that the phrase, a lonely place, in the Revised Standard Version, is repeated 3 times. Jesus said, "Come away by yourself to a lonely place." They went away in a boat to a lonely place by themselves. The disciples also mentioned, "This is a lonely place. Where can we find food?" Yet when the crowd showed up unexpectedly, Jesus readily served them. The gospel states that the whole crowd ate and was satisfied. Even though Jesus and the disciples were extremely tired and desperately needed a break, their service was not done haphazardly. But the story didn't end there. Verses 45 and 46 state, "Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd." Look at those verses a little closely. "And after he took leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray." Right after the miracle, Jesus did not hesitate to make his disciples get into the boat. This illustrates how strong Jesus' intention was. He compelled his disciples to board the boat. Generally, Jesus was meek and gentle and did not take such forceful actions. However, he did here. Another indication of Jesus' intention for the disciples to have a break is found in those verses, which state that as he urged the disciples into the boat, Jesus dismissed the crowd. He did not want the disciples to be surrounded by the crowd any longer, so he took it upon himself to say goodbye to the crowd. Once the crowd dispersed, Jesus went up the mountain to pray. And of course, the break did not last long. In the evening, Jesus was with the disciples on the boat again and went to a place called the Gennesaret, where he healed sick people. Jesus and the disciples maintained a very busy schedule, but see what Jesus was trying to do and did. He still found time for a quiet place for rest and prayer. Let us imagine ourselves in Jesus' situation. What would we choose between feeding 5,000 hungry people, actually 5,000 men, counting all the people? It would be doubled easily, women and children. Between feeding that many people and spending quiet time with God, what would we choose? The size of the task is much bigger than having a personal time, of course. wouldn't we choose to feed the crowd and forget the other? The Bible also supports our position. One of my favorite Bible verses when I answer the call is Revelation 2:10, which said, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Jesus was extremely busy and even worked on the Sabbath, saying, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." The Shema, which summarized the Old Testament, instructs us to serve the Lord with all our hearts, mind, and strength. Serving the Lord to the best of our ability is the right thing to do. Naturally, we often neglect to have quiet time for rest and spiritual nurture. But Jesus was mindful of it and forced the disciples to do it. People say it is very important to maintain a balance between work and rest, and this is indeed true for our spiritual lives. We are always busy, and our task never ends. Even when we slow down, our hearts stay busy, constantly thinking about tasks. Giving ourselves break by being alone with God does not come easy. It's a big challenge, as was the case with the disciples and Jesus. During my meditation a few weeks back, I was playing Fairest Lord Jesus on the piano, the one that we just sang. Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, thou of God and man the Son, thee I will cherish, thee will I honor, thou my soul's glory, joy, and crown. I suddenly noticed that the old hymnal that I was using had a subtitle for the song that says, Crusader's Hymn. In our hymnal, it doesn't say that, but in the old hymnal that I use in the piano, it says that, Crusader's Hymn. So I did a little bit of research, and it turns out that Franz Liszt, a Hungarian composer, you know Franz Liszt, very famous composer, he used the tune of the song for a crusader's march in his oratorio called The Legend of Saint Elizabeth. That's why in our hymnal it says Saint Elizabeth. It doesn't say Crusader's Hymn, but that's why it was related to Saint Elizabeth. I often use the hymn Fairest Lord Jesus for my meditation because it helps me focus on Jesus and calms me down. And I look at the subtitle, first time ever, I realize that the subtitle perfectly fits the hymn. We are crusaders, Christian soldiers, who engage in the battle against the forces of evil in the world. The war we are involved in never ends, never. However, when we become too busy fighting, we forget the one who has called us to battle. That's irony, but that is true. A crucial task of the crusader is not just to engage in the battle out there, but is to also pause from the battle and reflect on Christ for strength. James Dobson, the founder of James Dobson's Family Institute, shares the following story in his book, Coming Home. Several months ago, I talked to a man who described one of the most painful experiences of his life. When he was 17 years old, he was a star on his high school football team. But his father, a very successful man in the city, was always too busy to see him play. The final game of the season came around, which was the state championship. The boy was desperate to have his dad there. The night of the big game, he was on the field warming up. When he looked into the stadium, just in time to his father arrived with two other men, each wearing a business suit. They stood talking together for a moment or two and then left. The man who told me this story is now 58 years of age. Yet tears still stream down his cheek as he recalled a long ago moment. It's been 40 years since that night. Yet the rejection and pain are as vivid as ever. I was struck again by the awesome influence of a father has in the lives of his children. My friend's father died not long ago, and as he stood by his dead body in the mortuary, he said, "Dad, I never really knew you. We could have shared so much love together, but you never had time for me." In this case, the son was like our Heavenly Father, wanting to spend time with us. And we are like the Father, always busy and lacking time to get to know our Heavenly Father and build relationship with Him. Having quiet time is a very important task for us crusaders. What do we do in our quiet time? Just think about ourselves. Think about where we are in life. Think about where we are going. Look at the things of the present from other angles. Think about our relationship with Jesus. Or just simply say, "Lord, I love you." So, as I conclude the message, I'd like us to have to sing this one together. And I'd like to recommend, as I often do, to sing this one during your quiet time. And just think about Jesus and just simply say, "I love you."
In your ear.
Let's sing once more in quietness.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
I'm going to call Cheryl and Beverly to come forward. They have been active part of our church life for a long time and have decided to become members of our church. So we are so excited about welcoming them. And I'd like to... if you would open the page 34 of the hymnal. Beverly and Cheryl, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce of the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin?
I do.
Thank you. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you profess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representative in the world? Thank you. And I'm going to ask the whole congregation . Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Thank you. Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include Beverly and Cheryl now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround them with a community of love and forgiveness, that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them, that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father, the Creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. You're doing good. All right. As members of this congregation, Beverly and Cheryl, will you faithfully participate in its ministry by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service?
Yes.
I'm going to ask the whole congregation, members of the household of God, I command Beverly and Cheryl to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service. Then in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Welcome. Welcome. Let us give up and give them a round of applause. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you.
It is now time for the presentation of our tithes and offerings. We thank you all for your support of this church and its ministries. You can leave your gift in the plate as you leave the church or bring it to the office. It is now time for special music by Austin Barrett and Colleen.
Good morning. I just wanted to say before I start the song that this song was written by Chris Christopherson, and I know his life was pretty rough maybe, but you know all of us have fallen short of the glory of God, so I think it's pertinent for all of us. Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you or the kindness you've shown? Lord, help me, Jesus, I've wasted it, so help me, Jesus, I know what I am. Now that I know that I've needed you, so help me, Jesus, my soul's in your hand. Tell me, Lord, if you think there's a way I can try to repay all I've taken from you. Maybe, Lord, I can show someone else what I've been through myself on my way back to you. Lord, help me, Jesus, I've wasted it, so help me, Jesus, I know what I am. Now that I know that I've needed you, so help me, Jesus, my soul's in your hand. Lord, help me, Jesus, I've wasted it, so help me, Jesus, I know what I am. Now that I know that I've needed you, so help me, Jesus, my soul's in your hand. Jesus, my soul's in your hand.
Amen.
God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures ye below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power uplifts. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Precious Lord, we are forever grateful for your cross. We are so thankful for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. We are grateful for each other, for the people that you have placed in our life, and for this church. We ask your blessing upon this church, that it may grow in every way, that we may continue to be the beacon of hope and truth for this community. So, Lord, we give this offering to bless you, and we ask your blessing upon it as it is used to build your kingdom in the world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our closing hymn today is number 172, My Jesus, I Love Thee.
Help us to pause from our busy routine and focus on you, that we may come to realize how wonderful you are, that we may hear you speaking to us, that we may confess how much we love you. So, Lord, bless this journey of faith, and may we continue on finding higher places to be alone with you and have close communion with you and finding joy in doing so. So we ask your blessing upon our path, upon our faith journey, that we may continue to grow in love and faith, and we may always come closer to you in all our doings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Be afraid, God will go with you each hour, every day. Go now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true.